this program. I certainly have found it to be true. They told me also that there are no strangers in Al-Anon. They're only friends that you haven't met yet. I had not met this lady until this morning. It is my privilege tonight to introduce her to you. I can't give you any history or a lot of background or anything like that about her, except to tell you that the brief time that I've talked to her, she's a beautiful person. I can tell you she's from Akron, Ohio, and I asked her what good things she'd like for me to tell you about her. And she said, "You just tell them I'm a happy Al-Anon." So I'd like to present to you Ophelia H., a happy Al-Anon.
I better hope I'm happy. I better hope I'm happy, huh, after that nice introduction. But you better believe I am, because Al-Anon is a way of life for me. And happiness is happiness. I used to run and look for happiness till I read something someplace. While you were running looking for that happiness, happiness was right there. And how true. But I first would like to thank the committee and Sarah and Sarah's daughter for telling Sarah about a week or two late that we had called and said that we would accept their invitation to come down here and speak. Something told me I just better call Sarah and check with her again. And Sarah said, "You know, my daughter's just telling me she knew somebody called, but she couldn't remember who it was." And, of course, my husband, he more or less accepted it while I was in Pennsylvania. I went up for 2 days to see a daughter that was expecting, just to see how large she was, see how she was making it, and I'd go back a month later when the baby was born. Well, when I got up there, apparently she had started dilating, and I saw that I couldn't leave her. I'd taken clothes for 3 days and my sewing machine, and with one outfit to make. And I found I had to stay, instead of staying 3 days, I had to stay 30 days. And she did bring us a little preemie. She's 4 pounds, 11 ounces, and the most beautiful little girl you'd ever want to see. And we do have 4 grandchildren, 1 grandson and 3 granddaughters, from 10 down to 4 months. And so after I come home, I told Walter, I said, "You know, well, we accepted." And I said, "Well, why did you do that? You know, we need to have our head examined." Because Walter had accepted and spoke in Louisville, Kentucky. And, of course, we figured it was going to be a little neighborhood meeting. And when we got there, it was about 700 people. And I told our friend Jim, I said, "Look, we are little neighborhood people." I said, "This is something else." I said, "I don't know how Walt's going to make it." And Jim told me, "Well, I tell you what, honey, you just look on it as a little neighborhood meeting." So that's when I got up here. I said, "I'm just going to look on this as a neighborhood meeting," because I think this is our 4th year of coming down here. And we have always received so much. So I felt, well, why couldn't we come down here and at least try to give something back? And we're just little neighborhood people. That's about as far as we've gotten. But first, before I go on, I have 3 things that I really believe in, and they have helped me work my program. And I know I'm going to read them to you. I'm going to tell you about them. So I just thought, well, I'll go ahead and read them first. Now, a lot in my group, they know how I feel about Al-Anon. When I came in here, I found the program had been gone for about 15, 20 years. And I thought, well, if this program's working this good for everyone, I'm not going to try hurting that book. Just what that book said do, I was going to do. So, you know, they start coming out with the form, this thing about self-caring. They seem they wanted to get rid of our word selfish. Believe me, I like that word selfish. Because I found out here for once I could do something for Ophelia. Because Ophelia was one of those who thought she could do everything for the world. I was one of those controllers, those manipulator, and a dominating person. And I always justified it this way. If you would just take time to listen to me and do as I told you to do, you'd find out you wouldn't go wrong. I was, and a lot of times I took time to research things. I was going to be right. I'm one of these, I had to be right. Very few times I would be caught wrong, and when I was caught wrong, I was quick to apologize. Because I felt when I wanted to tell you something else again, you were going to take time to listen to me, because I did apologize to you. So on this selfish thing, I want to tell you, I read this about being selfish. This fellow's just like me. There's nothing the matter with being selfish when you're trying to do for yourself. So I said, I cannot accept the judgment of anyone who tells me it is selfish for you or me to run our own lives on our own terms. I do not believe it is selfish to love yourself and treat yourself as a person of independent worth and natural dignity, nor is it selfish to want the kind of life that is most important and enjoyable to you. Now, this is an example. If you think other people are responsible for how you feel, then you will have to wait until they decide to change their behavior before you can feel better. So that's how come I just feel this is a selfish program. This is what I have to do for myself and help myself feel good. Another thing, last night I was in a, it was last night in the sharing meeting. We were talking about courage. And I know to have courage and use courage, you have to have strength. Of course, I drew a blank. I couldn't think of these four spiritual aspects of strength. Well, tonight, I have them here on paper. I have notes, because I draw mental blanks, and I figure tonight I'm going to try to make it, because I just cannot afford to get up here and come up with a mental blank. Now, the four spiritual aspects was patience, tolerance, steadfastness, and balance. I found out if I try to work those four aspects, I can generally accomplish anything I want to accomplish. And I ran into this at a time. That was, well, we were bound to have a little excitement. Remember what, was it a couple years ago? And it got so hot in here, they opened the doors and the bird came in. Yeah, we were ducking and carrying on because of a bat. And just think, this year we had an airplane, and isn't that a blessing? Don't you think our higher power wasn't working there? Well, that's good. Well, I sure was calling on my strength then. So I know a few people said they wanted to hear this and they wanted to know what these four spiritual aspects were. And I'll repeat them again. It's patience, tolerance, steadfastness, and balance. Now for me, I don't care what you say, I always used to accuse people of stealing the Al-Anon program, because I could hear so many things and I said, oh, we do that in Al-Anon, we do that in Al-Anon. And things have been around for hundreds of years. Now, I just took for myself patience. And I just said, with our slogan, but for the grace of God. You know, a lot of times you have to be patient when you see people doing certain things. And you can say, for the grace of God, you know, there go I. You could still be doing the same thing. And tolerance. Tolerance to me become one day at a time. Because I was one of these, I was a pusher, because I always felt if tomorrow would come, things would be better. And I just now know I just have to tolerate some things. A little one today pamphlet would tell us, you know, we can tolerate something for 24 hours that would kill us if we had to do it the rest of our life. And steadfastness, I looked at that as easy does it. And that was one slogan that took me a long time to even want to use, because I just didn't see there was no easy does it in anything. Like I say, I was always one of these pushers, always in a hurry. And balance, I just say I can look at that as live and let live. And live and let live is one of the very first slogans I latched onto, because I was one of these, I worried about how everybody was living, what they were doing. We would go for rides, and I would look to see, my gosh, why can't you fix her windows up a little different? Oh, my heavens, why did they put that in the yard? I could never see anything nice until I found out. I said, well, live and let live. If you want to do it, so be it. Ophelia wasn't going to worry her mind about it anymore. And that was a good thing for me, because I just tried to take on a lot of things that I really didn't need to. And another thing was love. I had a odd kind of love. Well, here, this was the kind of love I had. The type of love I had causes me a lot of trouble. Sometimes I call love concern or dependency. I get so concerned that I feel that the solution to problems depend on me. That really gets me into trouble. For my dependency meant demand, a demand for the possession and control of the people and the conditions surrounding me. That's when my mind gets on a merry-go-round. If they will only do this, and if they will only do that. Love in the Al-Anon has shown me that I must let others lead their own lives, and I'm a firm believer in the slogans. And one other slogan I really latched on to first was one day at a time. To me, it was just a miracle that you can live and do anything for one day at a time, because I was, like I say, I was a pusher. I felt tomorrow would come and just was bound to be better. Things were going to be the way I think they should be. But I've learned to try to slow myself down. So I think now I'll start on my little lead in my opening. I would like to tell you a little bit of my family history. I'm one of those little rare birds. I'm still living on the same street I was born on. We take pride in it. We had 56 straight years in one elementary school. And I think if one granddaughter hadn't moved away, I imagine we would have had, oh heavens, I could think we could have run almost, well, now about 70 years or better in the one grade school. If he goes back to drinking, I was just like a song with me. I couldn't do anything but worry, what if Walt goes back to drinking? And one woman sit there, and then she told me, she said, well, God damn it, so you've been in here long enough to know what he does is none of your damn business. And I was, was I indignant and mad with her. Who did she think she was? And you know what? I've had reason to use that same thing twice in our group meeting. And I've heard the same thing, how some of them have hated me. But I've said one thing. I'm like Virginia last year. If anybody's going to have to be Mrs. Allen and SOB, I'm going to be at Nakron. Because if that's what's going to take for some of my women in my group to straighten theirself up and get the Al-Anon program, so be it. Ophelia's going to say it. If you're not coming there, we don't want to hear a thing about the alcoholic. We want to hear about you. That's what I generally tell you. And there was another one there by the name of Donna S. I remember her. She was sitting there in the meeting. And I guess I was talking, and she made a statement that I just didn't know there was any such thing as this in the world. She says, well, you know, you have a choice. And I think that was one of the greatest things in the world, that I knew I had a choice about different things. I always was black and white, straight down the line. I was one of these, I didn't ever look left or right. There was no such thing as a little gray area. You were right or you were wrong. And I didn't find out now you can be any way you want to be, and I can accept you. You don't have to be right, and you don't have to be wrong. What you believe in is all right. It's not my worry anymore. And I often repeat and tell people, too, to let them know what she told me, that you have a choice in this program. You can be happy or you can be unhappy. And one thing on these fringe benefits, making us aware of the world. I remember how Walt and I, we've been 40 years on the one street. We'll be married 40 years tomorrow. And so when we were living in this one little house, this old big old tree wasn't nothing but that big old tree. Looked like it was going to fall down on the garage, and all those leaves we had to rake up. It was just horrible. And then the next year after we got in the program, I guess we'd been over in this house about 20 years. And all at once, we looked up at this same tree. Isn't that a lovely tree? Isn't that tree beautiful? You know, just how you, after a while, you can take time to look at things and see them in a different view. And another thing, I had to stop living in the past. I found out the past was chopping and killing me up. Even after I got in the program, I was a good one for going back, because if I didn't top you, I wanted to know how come I didn't, and I should have said this and I should have said that. And I read in the form once, that's like old debts. You paid them. If some store would keep dunning you, you wouldn't keep paying that store for that bill. You would say, hey, I paid that bill. And we paid for old resentments and unhappiness and tears and misery. Let them go. Let them go. And I found out the way, only way I can do that, I have to keep my mind on my higher power, and I have to put something nice in the place of it. Sometimes I get stupid. I say, oh, boy, that carpet is pretty. Oh, my curtains are hanging so nice. I have to get rid of those bad thoughts. And like I say, my first slogan was live and let live, and one day at a time, and I had to leave negative thoughts alone. Another thing I want to tell you, how stupid and how sick we can be. Walt was one of these. I told you he was a good drunk. He was fun. He'd come home. Hi, hon. Oh, I love you. Fee, I just love you. And oh, I'd be raising sand. You make me sick. How come you can't come home and drink? You know, we got one of these houses. We always get a house that you can go round and round in. I'd get you running. No, you just leave me alone. My God, how come you can't come home and this and that? And Walter would catch me and he'd kiss me and hug me. And you know, I'd be dumb enough, we'd go upstairs. He got sober. Walt didn't tell me he loved me anymore, and he didn't chase me anymore. And so I figured, heck, this is a two-way street. I said, I'll start chasing him. And I start chasing him. I have, you know, he's not too hard to catch. I said, hey, that's what you do. You know, if you want a hug, I had a thing going with Walt, and I didn't know how much good it did me. I said, give me my energy, and I made him hug me. I mean, that was during a bad time of my life. I didn't know I needed that, but I need that loving and touching. And Virginia, last night, stole a little of my thunder, but so be it. I'm one of those touching persons, and I love them. I always feel there's somebody around here who needs to be hugged, needs to be touched. At these meetings, you need to look at them. I mean, you never know. Just go ahead and do it. I walked up to one girl, and she still remembered. I didn't know her from that, and I wonder what she thought about me. But I felt she needed to be hugged. We were at a workshop, and I walked up and I gave her a good hug because I saw she was miserable, and I told her I saw she was miserable. So I tell you right now where I'm at. I always got my phases. I guess I'm in a phase now of love. And so I just wanted to see the world full of love. You know, that's, you hear that song, that's all we need. We don't need another mountain, another stream. All we need is love, love, love. And so I tell you right now, like I say, people are lonely. People are lonely. So right now, I just want to tell you, how about if each one of us just reach out and touch somebody. You know, you can make this a better world if you can. And we can make it a better world. Just reach out and touch somebody. Oh. That's a little song, this little church I go to, they end out, reach out and touch someone. And there's a time there I had, oh, we got property. And, you know, you get the tenants, they can worry you to death sometime. And I got this little habit, I have to get up every night and go to the bathroom. And I'm telling you, first thing I have on my mind, doggone it, I'm going to get rid of them. We better get over here and clean this, we better do this, and we better do that. And I'd have myself in torment. And then when I heard that song, reach out and touch someone and make this a better world if you can. And each night I'd get up, I'd be singing that song to myself. Instead of worrying about what I'm going to do the next day. And it's been wonderful for me. And there was a lot of other little things I could say, but I'll save them because I'm coming back.